So Parakah Daled is one of the most dramatic prokim in Shmuel Aleph. That is where the war actually takes place. So let's see. Parakah Daled opens up. Vayi ayoyim, v'yomer Yonasan ben Shaul elanar noise Caleb, l'chov enabro elmatzav plishtim, asher me'ever halav, ul'aviv lehigit. So Yonatan turns to his noise Caleb, the person who carries his sword, and he tells them, let's go and check out the camp of the Plishtim and see how they're doing. Now, at this point yet, he had no intention of attacking them at all. He was just going to go and observe what is happening in the camp of the Plishtim. And that's why the Pasuk says, he didn't bother telling his father because there was no point in telling him because he wasn't planning on doing anything at this point. Pasuk base continues. V'shal yeshu b'kseh giva tachas harima yishar b'migrin v'om asher ima yikashesh ma'is ish. Shaul was sitting on the other hill under the rima yishar b'migrin. He was kind of hiding in between the mountains because he did not want the police team to see what a small camp he has. He only had 600 men. When you compare that to the camp of the Plishtim, which we saw last week counts 30,000 footmen and 7,000 horsemen, that's a large camp. And when you compare it to 600 men, it's quite pathetic. V'achia ben achitoiv achi achichovoid ben pinchas ben eli koyen Hashem b'shiloi noise efoid ve'om le'yad akiyolach yoinasan. Now why is the Pasuk telling us that Achia, which was the Kohen, who was the grandson of Eli, is sitting with him in the camp? Because we want to explain that Yonasan, at this point, was not planning to attack the police team yet, because if he was, he should have consulted the Kohen, who was with them right there on site, or he should have at least asked the Urim V'Tumim, which also was with them right there. And since he did not plan to do anything yet, he didn't consult anybody. No, not his father, not the Kohen, not the Urim V'Tumim. He just went on his own. The way the camp of the Plishtim was situated, there was one big cliff on one hand, and the other big cliff on the other hand. The name of one of them was Boitzet, the name of the other cliff was Sneh. Because these cliffs were so large, they had their own individual name because they were so big. And the Balaam explains that the way to get up to them was almost impossible. They were completely smooth, so even if you were a very skilled mountain climber, it was almost impossible for you to climb up to the top because it was straight up and totally smooth. And the Plishtim were basically at the top of these two cliffs.
How'd they get up there?
No, they came from the other side.
Oh.
So Yonasan was kind of sneaking in the valley towards the camp of Plishtim, and he was coming from this side. The Plishtim came, you know, from the other side of the mountain, and now he's approaching them. Ashena echad mitzuk mitzafin mul michmash v'echad minegev mul gova. The apostle is just telling us the geographic location of each cliff. V'yemin Yonasan el hanar noisa kelev. Right now, Yonasan is receiving this inspiration from Hashem, this divine inspiration, which is pushing him to go ahead, and as unbelievable as it sounds, he's planning now to attack this large camp of the Plishtim. And what does he tell his Naisa Kalim, his servant? He tells him, let's go and see, maybe Hashem will do us a Nais, because there's no Ein Lashem Matzer Lashia Berav Oivim At. There's nothing stopping Hashem, in large or small. Meaning what? Naturally, when you have a force that is contradicting your force, if you want to overcome the force that is contradicting you, you have to be more powerful than the contradicting force. That's naturally the way it happens. However, the way it works on the Nais level, on Hashem's terms, there is no force that even has the possibility to contradict, to stop Hashem. So no matter how strong or weak the force is, to Hashem it's absolutely nothing. That's why Yonasan is saying, Ein Lashem Matzer Lashia Baravi Vagmat. There's nothing stopping Hashem, either large or small. There is no force that even comes close to matching Hashem. Now this is unbelievable. The Naisa Kalim, the servant of Yonasan, agrees full-heartedly to join Yonasan in this very dangerous endeavor. Now, why did he agree to do that? Because the commentators explain, since he realized that Yonasan is clearly trying to engage in something that's way above his abilities, way past his ability, he realized it must be that Yonasan received divine inspiration, which is pushing him to do such a unbelievable thing. Therefore, it must be that Hashem is with us, and Hashem will take care of things.
Well, it seems it's just him and him, nobody else.
Two guys on their own attacking this huge, enormous camp of the Plishtim. Unbelievable. Yonasan is now putting out the plan to his servant and telling him this is how it's going to play out. We are now going to pass this valley where, you know, the no man's land between the two camps. And let's see what's going to happen. If when we approach and they see that we're coming, if they tell us, wait until we come down to you, then you know that's a sign that we shouldn't attack, we just should wait until they come down to us. If they say, why don't you come up to us, we want to show you something, that is a sign from Hashem that He will help us defeat them, and we can go ahead and attack them, because we know that Hashem is with us. That will be the sign. If they say, come up to us, we know that Hashem is with us. So what happened? They now are approaching the Plishtim. How do they climb up? It's almost unbelievable. They basically, Yonasan had to climb up on his hands and knees to try and get to the top. It was also part of the Nais, because it was almost impossible to get to the camp of the Plishtim, because they were so high up, and the cliff was completely smooth. So the Plishtim now, they didn't realize that these two men who are approaching are soldiers. They just thought these are the Jews that were hiding in the caves. As we mentioned last week, there were many Jews who were just hiding in the caves because they were so scared. They were terrified. They were quaking in their boots. So now the Plishtim saw that, they figured that these Jews are now coming out of their hiding places. So we have nothing to worry about. And what do they say? They say the exact words that Yonasan made to be the sign. They say, come up to us, which is unbelievable. It doesn't make any sense. Why would the Plishtim call these Jews that are terrified, come up to us? Why don't they just go down and kill them right there and then? But again, that was part of the Nais. That was to show that this is the fact that they said those exact words, even though it doesn't make any sense, that was the sign to show that Hashem was with them. Come up to us, we want to show you something. Now Yonasan realizes that their sign is complete, because the Plishtim said exactly the words that he was hoping for, and he's telling his Naisakelim, he's telling his servant, come up, Hashem will put them in our hands, and we will be able to defeat them. He went down on his hands and feet, climbing up to the top of the cliff. So now, Yonasan came in a very strategic point into the camp of the Plishtim. You see, there were two camps set up. There was a camp which was basically in the front lines, facing the Jewish camp, And there was another camp, a big, much larger camp, which was basically all the, so to speak, backup soldiers who were going to come and be in a second wave after the first camp, which was in the front lines, was going to attack. So Yonasan and his Nisa Kalim came in exactly in the middle of those two camps, and that's where they attacked. At this point, they killed 20 men on the first blow. So let's see what happens. But he killed 20 men. It was a very, very small area. It was a very large area where he was able to kill out all these 20 soldiers. But so now, since Yonasan came in such a strategic point and he killed 20 men, both camps had no clue what was going on, because he killed the soldiers in between the two camps. So the camp in the back, which was in which was going to be the second wave, they figured if the Jewish soldiers managed to kill Plishtim soldiers that were in between the two camps, it must be that they were able to completely wipe out the first camp that was in the front lines. They were able to get so far, right, they were able to approach our camp. And the camp that was in the front lines was afraid that the exact opposite happened. They were afraid that the camp in the back was attacked and they're being attacked from behind. So both camps were very confused. They had no clue where the attack was coming from, even though it was only two men. Remember, two men. They killed 20 people, 20 soldiers, but both camps were quaking in their boots. But also Hashem put the fear in their hearts to add to the drama.
How was they killed? What did they use?
They use a sword. No, they use. We mentioned last week the Yonasan and Shaul were the only ones who had swords. It was B'derech Nes. The Mitzvah Stov explains it was a miracle that they were the only two who had swords, because the Plishtim made sure that none of the Jewish people would have any swords or any knife whatsoever, because they were afraid that the Jewish people might rebel, and so anytime they wanted to sharpen, either it was their the knife they used to cut the wheat, or it was their plows, they would have to go down to the land of the Plishtim in order to do that. But the Plishtim again made sure they had no swords whatsoever, so none of the Jewish people had any swords. Only Yonasan and Shaul, they were the only ones. So now Yonasan attacked the Plishtim with his sword, and he managed to kill 20 soldiers. So the bystander, the soldiers who were watching this, the Jewish soldiers that were watching this whole catastrophe going on in the camp of the Plishtim, they didn't really know what was happening. They just saw all this fear and running around, and they wanted to know what was happening. So he wanted to see, maybe there was a group of soldiers that left them, but they counted everyone, and they realized that only Yonasan and his servant were the only ones who left. And now, Shaul was even more bewildered, because it didn't make any sense. It could not be that Yonasan and his servant alone were able to cause such panic in the camp of the Plishtim. So what does he do? He calls Achia, the Kohen, come over and bring me the Urim V'Tumim. Remember, the Aron was traveling, didn't have a set place. It was traveling with the Jewish people everywhere they went. And so, Shaul calls for the Aron. He's going to ask the Urim V'Tumim and to see what was going on, because he didn't know. He had no idea what could possibly be happening in the camp of the Plishtim. So now, he realized that there's a great noise coming out of the camp of the Plishtim, and he's calling him, and he's calling the Kohen, and he says, "Listen, we don't have any time to ask the Urim V'Tumim even, we have to go and attack right now. Because this is the perfect time to attack. The Plishtim are clearly not in a position to protect themselves, to fight back, and we have to attack right now. We don't have any time to even consult the Urim V'Tumim. So Shaul now calls all the men that were with him, and they are now going to attack the the Plishtim. So what happens? The Plishtim ketmal shilshaim, asher olu imam b'machan asavim, v'gam hem liyos im Yisrael asher im shol v'yoyin asan. So there are some Jews that were used as slaves to the Plishtim. So the Pasuk is now telling us, v'ha'ivrim hayu l'plishtim, the Jews who were part of the camp of the Plishtim, they were taken as slaves to the Plishtim. When Shaul attacked with his small army, the servant, the slaves of the Plishtim, which were in the camp of the Plishtim, now turned against the Plishtim. They joined the army of the Jews, and they all attacked the Plishtim together. So you've got the Jews from the small camp of 600 Jewish soldiers attacking from one side, and you've got the Jewish soldiers or slaves that were in the Plishtim camp already, and now they're attacking them from all directions. V'chol Yish Yisrael mischabim bar Ephraim shomu kinasu Plishtim ve'idbaku gam hem acharim b'melchama. All the Jews that were hiding, as we mentioned before, they're all hiding in these caves because they were terrified. They now realized that the Plishtim were escaping. So they joined together with the Jewish camp and they were chasing the Plishtim altogether. Hashem saved the Jews in that day, and the Muhammad went so far it got all the way to Beis Oven, which is a very far city. So now Shaul realizes that he's got the momentum, he's got the initiative, so he wants to make sure that the Jewish people don't rest and don't take off time to prepare a meal and sit down and eat, because they've got to make sure to attack right now because they had the momentum, and Shaul didn't want any time wasted by preparing any food. And therefore he tells everyone, do not eat anything until we finish the war. So it wasn't clear if he just didn't want them to spend the time eating, or he didn't want them to spend the time preparing for the meal. And we'll see later on why it was so confusing. They're at some point in the war, they were going through the forest, and they saw these sugar canes, this honey that was on the field, on the ground of the forest. No one reached down to take from the honey or from these sugar canes, because they knew the Shaul told them, do not eat the whole day. Do not eat until the war is over. Remember, Yonasan was not there. He had no idea that Shaul told them not to eat, that he made them a shvu, he made them swear not to eat until the end. He took his staff, stuck it in the honey, and put it in his mouth. And at that point, he was in a state of, he was so hungry, he was famished, and he was in a state where his eyesight was not clear. He couldn't even see straight because it's called a bulimus. He was so hungry, he couldn't even think straight, and he couldn't see straight. So once he ate from the honey, his eyes lit up, and he was able to see clearly again. One of the Jewish soldiers tells Yonasan, what are you doing? Don't you know that your father made a shavuah? He made us swear that we should not eat anything until we finish the war. Why are you eating? Yonasan tells the Jewish soldiers, listen, clearly my father did not do the right thing. I went ahead and tasted from the honey. My eyes lit up. You clearly are in the same state that I am. You've been fighting all day. You're famished. You're tired. If you eat some of the honey, you'll also be able to gain some strength, and you'll be able to see straight. Now, Yonasan understood the shvuah of his father, that he didn't want them to waste the time that it took to prepare the food for the meal. That's the way he understood the shvuah of the father, of his father. So he said, what's the problem? We have food right in front of us. We don't have to take time to prepare the food. All we got to do is reach down and eat it. There's no problem. We're not wasting any time by eating this honey. If we would have eaten the way we were supposed to, we would be able to regain our strength. And imagine what even a more powerful attack we could have took out on the Plishtim and killed many, many more Plishtim than we already have. The Pesuk is telling us that they actually really killed many, many Plishtim that day, but the Jewish people were very, very tired. When they finally finished the war, they were makir a carbon shlamim, because they were very hungry, and they ate the food, they ate the meat before they did the zrikas adam, which is an aveira. You're not supposed to eat the meat before you do zrikas adam. That's why the pasuk says, they ate it before Zerikas Adam, even though they were not supposed to, because they were so hungry, they couldn't even wait.
I don't understand that. If you roast it, you don't have to salt it.
No, but it was a carbon shlamim.
Yeah.
They shechted a carbon shlamim. And the halacha is that for a carbon shlamim, you have to wait until you finish the Zerikas Adam of the carbon. Right? You do the Zerikas Adam on the Mizbeach. And only then you're allowed to eat the meat. But because the people were so hungry, they couldn't wait for the Zrikas Adam, they started eating right away, which was wrong.
It has nothing to do with...
No, nothing to do with salting. Right. No, right.
Because it was a carbon.
Because it was a carbon shlamim.
All right. So yeah.
They didn't have any sores, how they killed.
Well, Yonasan and Shaul had.
What?
Yonasan and Shaul had swords.
Did the Jewish people have swords?
In the beginning, at least, they didn't. But possibly throughout the war, they were able to take the swords of the Plishtim that they actually killed. So I don't think that was an issue.
With their bare hands.
Yeah. I'm saying obviously it was a huge nace. Remember, the Plishtim were running for their lives. They weren't fighting back at all. So it was pretty easy to defeat them. They told Shaul that the Jewish people are eating before Zrikas Adam, which is an Avera, it's a Chet. And Shaul says, how could you do this?
Who are these people that
the Jewish, who told them? I don't know. I guess some of the Jewish people realized, that they were eating and they knew it was wrong. So they went over to Shaul and said, look what the Jewish people are doing. This is wrong. They're not supposed to do this. Shaul is turning to them and telling them, I want you to go ahead and shecht each one of your own behemoths. Whatever behemoth they got from the camp of the Plishtim. And this time I want you to do it the right way. You should shecht it again and wait for Zrikas Adam. So Shaul now built a Mizbeach right there on the spot, and they brought all these carbonis on this Mizbeach.
Now
Now, after they finished their meal, Saul turns to the Jewish soldiers and tells them, now it's night, why don't we go ahead and kill out the rest of the camp of the Plishtim and make sure that there's not one man left alive. And what do the Jewish people say? Listen, now that we ate, we're good to go. Whatever you want us to do, we're down with that. We're on board. Shaul consults the Urim V'Tumim to see what should be the right thing to do. Should he go ahead and re-attack the Plishtim? However, Hashem did not answer him on that day. He's gathering everyone together. He realizes, obviously, there was something wrong that was done because Hashem is not answering him. And he's gathering everyone together to see what happened. What went wrong? Who did an avera that caused Hashem not to answer me at the Urim V'Tumim? I want to know if Yonasan, which was the only one who wasn't there at the Shavuah, if he was the one to violate the Shavuah. And no one answered him to say, yes, it was Yonasan who violated the Shavuah. No one said anything. He's now dividing the Jewish people on one side, and him and Yonasan on the other side, and he's going to throw a lot to see who was the one who violated the Shavuah. He's now going to see if it was really Yonasan or not, and he says, he throws a lot, he consults the Urim V'Tumim, and it comes out that his side, his and Yonasan's side, is the side that is chosen. So now he knows clearly that it wasn't any one of the Jewish people. Rather, it was Yonasan. Obviously, it wasn't him. He was the king. So it must be it was Yonasan. Because their side was the one that was chosen. Now he throws another lot between him and Yonasan, and he realizes that it really is Yonasan who violated the Shavuah. Tell me what you have done. Again, he didn't know that Yonasan ate. No one told him. Yonasan says, yes, it's true. I was the one who violated the Shavuah. I ate a little bit of honey, and I'm prepared to die because I violated the Shavuah. If that's what you want to be done, that's what's going to be done.
He didn't hear the Shavuah.
Right. But even when the Jewish people told him that your father went ahead and made the Shavuah, he said
he ignored it.
He ignored the Jewish people when he told them that you shouldn't be eating. He says, no, remember he said, yeah, my father did the wrong thing, there's no problem in eating. Right? That's what he said. So now he's saying, yes, I did the wrong thing and I'm prepared to die.
Can someone make a shvuah when the person isn't with Gidon? It was Gidon that made when he came back from the war, and he says, well, the first thing comes out of my house.
Yeah, right, it was his daughter.
How can you make a shvuah on somebody else and not Leah?
Well, you're saying, taking Gidon's case. Yeah, we'll get there. It's a good question over there, but over here, you're right, Yonasan wasn't there during the Shavuah. But when he heard about it, he should have joined in and not contradicted his father. That's what he did wrong, apparently.
It seems he continued to eat.
Yeah.
What?
He continued to eat even afterwards.
When they usually went out to war, there's a dinner that you're not supposed to eat. They didn't eat before they went out to war.
Well, you mean they're fasting before they went out to war? Yeah, not
always.
Was that
right? Day before they went out to war?
They didn't know they were going out to war. They weren't prepared at all. Yeah. They were caught off guard.
Yeah.
Well, they went up themselves. There was no war at that point. Yeah. They went to see what's going on.
Yeah. V'yomer Shaul kol ya'aseh elokim v'chol yosef ki mo'is tomus Yonasan. Shaul now saying, okay, Now, since Yonatan was the one to violate the Shvuah, he went against my word, he is now going to die. Ve'er amal shol ha-Yonatan yomus, asher asa ha-Yeshuva gedel ha-Zayis b'Yisrael, chlilo. Chai Hashem mipol misaras reishai arza ki melekim asa ha-Yem hazeh, ve'eftu amas Yonatan v'loi meis. Now the Jewish people are enraged. How could this be? Yonatan was the one to bring about this open miracle where we were able to defeat the Plishtim in such a miraculous way. He's the one who's going to be killed after the war? It doesn't make any sense. How could we do that? So the Plishtim were contradicting Shaul, and they said, no, we cannot go ahead and kill Yonatan, and they managed to save him. Vayal Shaul ma'achari Plishtim, u'Plishtim ha'ochu l'mekoimam. Now Shaul is he's now coming from from behind of the camp of Plishtim, and Plishtim are now the remaining camp. Remember, he did not reattack, he did not kill out the rest of the camp. So now the rest of the camp is going back to their place. Shaul locha l'melucha al Yisrael, he is now establishing his kingdom. Ve'ilachem savim b'chol oivav b'moyav uv'nei amayin uv'edayim uv'machitzoivav uv'plishtim v'chol asher yifna yarshia. He's now attacking all the enemies of the Jews, defeating them completely, and he's now the strongest king in the region. He even goes ahead and attacks Amalek and saves the Jewish people from all their enemies. Shaul now has three sons and two daughters. He has three sons by the name of Yonatan, who was the oldest, V'yishvi Malkishua, and two of his daughters were Merav and Micha. They were going to meet them later on in Shmuel, and we'll see exactly what happens to them with David HaMelech. V'shem Eisha Shaul Achinoyam Bas Achimatz V'shem Sar Tzvoy Aviner Ben Ner Doid Shaul. His wife was Achinoyam, and his general was Aviner Bener. Aviner, remember these names? Aviner Bener is going to be very, very significant in the following chapters. The Kish Avishol, Bener Aviner Ben Avil. The Kish was the father of Shol, and Ner was the father of Ner. V'tiyah Melchama Chazaka L'Pishtim Kolim Eishol. The war was very strong, was very powerful on the Plishtim. Shaul is now gathering all the strong men who were fit to be soldiers. He's now gathering them, and he is forming a very powerful army in order to make sure the Plishtim do not reattack and do not defeat the Jewish people. We'll see later on exactly what happens. Okay, we'll stop here.